Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. I hope that your day has gone well, whether you're listening first thing at the 10 a.m. live broadcast or the 4 p.m. rebroadcast or downloaded and listening at your leisure. All through navigating the Tiber, we're going to wait for Devin to feel better and to be able to join us. And as Alex and I were talking before the show started, and I was kind of going, I could talk about this, I could talk about that, kind of just all over the map, grabbing like different books that we've already talked about, and just asking the Holy Spirit, like, you're on, Holy Spirit. I thought about sharing with you the talk I gave this week at St. Patrick's in Wareham about, you know, what firm foundations that we have placed our faith, and talk about prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And then suddenly it just dawned on me. I feel like since we are almost at the anniversary of adopting my little girl, Faithy, and I don't think I've ever really shared this story with you, that today I will share Faith's adoption story. It might be a little scattered because I don't have the notes in front of me, and it was 7 years ago. It was actually almost exactly 7 years ago today that we left for China to bring her home. It was quite an adventure. So I thought I would just share this, our adoption story with our little Faith. And it was very much a God story. So I think it fits into our show pretty well. So about 2006-ish, that's about when this all began. I had started to really come into my faith. I had been, you know, like I said, I always tell you, I'm a cradle Catholic, and I had joined Bible study, and I was really starting to have a great relationship with the Lord, spending a lot more time in prayer. It's amazing when you spend time praying how much God will speak to you. And up until then, I really thought that he was deaf to me, ironically, and that, you know, I had all these concerns and problems and just felt so alone. Like, you know, God created me, but he didn't really care what happened to me once I was here. But gosh, was I wrong. And I also learned at this time, it wasn't all about me. So Kevin and I had been married at that point for, oh gosh, like 20 years. We had Ian, who was 10 at the time, and Adam, who was 7 or somewhere around that, 9 and 6. And we were just really open to life and to whatever God wanted. We had come back to the faith, to the Catholic faith, in definitely a more profound way. We had started using natural family planning, which is, by the way, 99% effective when used correctly. And it's not as hard to use correctly as one would think, though it's not the easiest method. It definitely requires some planning and sacrifice and cooperation between the couple. And so we were using natural family planning. We had the two boys. I had Ian was 2 months premature, and then followed by him came a baby that was ectopic. He was actually in my abdomen, required major surgery, and I nearly bled to death, but the doctor saved me, I'm pretty sure, because right before I went under, I prayed the Hail Mary. So we're going to say our Blessed Mother interceded through that doctor and preserved my life for whatever reason. Grateful for that, obviously. Then we had another miscarriage followed by our son, Adam. And we were both really open, like, but I was honest with the Lord, like, pregnancy's not easy for me, God. And if, you know, you really want us to bring another child into our family, we're open, but, you know, whatever. There's different ways, but adoption really hadn't crossed my mind in a very long time. After all of this process began, my mother actually did remind me of this day in eighth grade that I came home from school all excited, and I had said to her, "When I grow up, I want to adopt a little girl from China, and I want to adopt a child that is unadoptable because there are so many babies in the world and they need homes." And at that point, I wasn't even going to have children. That was my plan. I'm just going to adopt. I'm not going to have kids. And then she reminded me there was another time, whether it was that same year or not, that I was taking American Sign Language in junior high. And I said, I wanted a deaf child. And she thought, "That's crazy. Who wants a child with a disability? Like, when and you can't make yourself have a deaf child because there was no deafness in our family." So it's just amazing, because when I look back at those two stories, and then once I learned scripture, and in it, in the Psalms, he says, the Lord says to us that he delights to give us the desires of our hearts. And of course, the desires of our hearts are placed there by him. So for me to desire this child and to desire a deaf child, which is such a unique and strange kind of desire, a thought, it wasn't that I was looking to give birth or to wish upon a child a disability or a disadvantage in this hearing world, but that the Lord had put that on my heart. So this, when he called so many years later for us to adopt and for us to be open to adopting a deaf child, that we would say yes. You know, that's one of the things I learned in this process, that the things that we feel in our hearts, we feel called to, and sometimes they seem so bizarre and maybe selfish or even a little, in this case, I want to say mean, but it just would seem weird, you know, like, why would you want a child, you know, like, again, that would be disadvantaged in a hearing world or would struggle in any way. But I just did. I always loved the language. I loved American Sign Language. And so when it came time in prayer, we were praying about what to do, you know, whether to have more children. We kind of was just moving along. And then I had this inclination in prayer. It was just a weird, out of nowhere prayer to adopt. And I was like, okay. And then the adoption, I just knew. I don't know how to tell you. I just knew she would be deaf. And I just kind of brushed it aside. And then Kevin and I went to a Stephen Curtis Chapman concert, and he was talking about his three little girls, and he's singing the song Cinderella, and you know, dancing. He shows a video of dancing with a little girl. And we didn't have any little girls yet, and we always wanted a little girl. And I don't know, at that moment, I just knew, like, that was more than just a concert, that the Lord was calling and putting upon our hearts a call to action. He was moving in our hearts to do something. And on the way to the car, I said to Kevin, "Any chance God was in there chatting with you about adopting?" And he looked at me with wide, wide eyes. He's like, "Yeah, actually, I got that same feeling." At the same time, in my preschool, I ran a preschool at the time. I was a preschool teacher. I had it in my home. I had a family who was adopting a little girl from Kazakhstan, and they were getting so excited, and they were in the process. They had started a Chinese adoption, but it was taking so long because at that time it was it would take 3 to 5 years to get a child, and they were just really eager to have a baby girl in their home. So they switched to Kazakhstan, and it was interesting. I didn't really know them that well, and I didn't really know the process that well. But after they had traveled and they were in Kazakhstan, their two little boys were here at home with their grandmother, and the grandmother was trying to Skype with them in Kazakhstan. And the night before, she just couldn't do it. And she came in the next morning with the boys for school, and she just looked so distraught. She's like, "The boys are dying to talk to their parents, and I feel so helpless. I don't know computers." So I, thinking that I'm just, you know, innocently going to their house to help with the computer that night for them to, you know, communicate with their mom and dad, it was really then that the whole plan started to come to life. Like, I just knew in that moment that this was what God was calling me and my family to. I just knew as I, they actually were at the orphanage and they had her with them and they were showing her cute little face, her chubby, cute little face in on the Skype, and the boys were just so overjoyed. They were much younger than my two boys, but I just knew. I just knew this was what God was calling us to. But he still had a lot of things to work out before we could say yes, before we did say yes. I needed some convincing. And he certainly didn't leave me wanting. When we come back from these messages, I'm going to share how he not only convinced me that we were supposed to adopt, but he showed me exactly where we were supposed to go and how we were going to pay for it. And all those other, like, and how I was going to handle my doubts and fears of having a child with a disability, and all of the wonderful God moments, the God-cidences that just piled on after we gave God our yes. Again, we're wishing Devin Rose a get well soon. He was supposed to be my guest to talk today about his new book, Navigating the Tiber, Catholic Answers Press, Catholic.com for more information. It's for helping your friends and your family navigate their way into the Catholic faith. And as I shared on Wednesday, it's also a great way for us as Catholics or someone who's just curious about the Catholic faith to learn more, to enter into the holidays, not into a debate with people over our faith, but having the answers to enter into dialogue. And I also saw how it would be very helpful. Wish I'd had it a few years ago when my friends were leaving the faith, and I would have been able to answer so many of our misconceptions that led them away. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. If you're tuning in to listen to my interview with Devin Rose, author of Navigating the Tiber, out now from Catholic Answers Press, we had to reschedule. Unfortunately, Devin is not feeling well this morning and couldn't make the interview. So after praying frantically to the Holy Spirit, I've decided to share my adoption story, how we came to be parents, forever home parents to our little girl, Faithy. So I was saying that it started basically by going in through prayer, being called through the Stephen Curtis Chapman concert to consider adoption, and then helping this wonderful family and my preschool at the time connect their boys at home with them in Kazakhstan while they were adopting their daughter. They ended up there way longer than they expected. And if the Russian and the Kazakhstan adoptions are different than China, there you have to go, come home, go back again several times. I can't even fathom. Excuse me. I can't even fathom what that would be like, because I could not have left Faith behind. I just could not have because once you have her in your arms, like they amazed me that they were able to do this. So strong and amazing people. I also knew that I couldn't, I personally, being the selfish human being that I am, could not handle a adoption that was open. Like I'm too jealous. I'm too envious. I couldn't share motherhood with another mother. I have several friends who have done fostering in the United States, adopted in the United States, and they are also my heroes. And I did receive a lot of flack from people who didn't understand why I was going out of the country to adopt when so many children in this country needed forever homes. And I completely understood that. I did. And so I brought it to real prayer. Like, I spent hours in prayer asking the Lord to make it completely clear where he wanted us to go. Like, he knew where my daughter was, and I needed to know, was it Kazakhstan? Was I supposed to, or Russia? Was it here in the United States? Was it Korea? That was kind of my hope, because that child would be brought to me. Or was it China? You know, like that, you know, ever since that concert with Stephen Curtis Chapman, it was on my heart. Like, it just felt like it was supposed to be China. But the idea of getting on an airplane with my anxiety and going to China was not sitting well with me. And I didn't even fathom us doing it, to be honest. Like, even as the Lord was revealing this is what was happening, I kept saying, no, I'll never do it. Like, it's going to be one of those, one more thing that Allison says, yes, I'm going to do, and then never follows through on. It's one of my worst character traits, and I try so hard to overcome it. And I'm learning now, the more time I spend in prayer and the older I get, perhaps, that my procrastination comes from a deep-seated fear and anxiety, maybe of failing or of not being able to, well, I guess this would be failure, not being able to accomplish what is on my heart to do. So I was really praying that the Lord would make it very clear where we were supposed to go and who our child would be. Like, I really wanted to be clear which one was meant for me. Because when you give birth, let's be honest, when you give birth, you know which child is yours. You know, there's no guess that God meant that one for you because it came out of your body. Oh, look, there's my kid. Sorry for the visual. But when you adopt, it's so different. You know, I didn't know how many, you know, options I would be given or pictures. Like, some people were telling me stories where they were sent 3 or 4 children and they had to decide, or they, you know, my friends who did fostering would go to parties, would they have all these children in the system and they would mingle and meet them. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, I just want to be clear, which is in hindsight, I'm really sure that's why, or feel like that's why God, you know, revealed those things to me about her being deaf. Like, her being deaf was revealed to me 3 years before we adopted her. I actually was so convinced that what the Lord had spoke to my heart was the truth that the boys and I started taking sign language classes as part of our homeschooling education long before we even started the adoption process. I remember standing there telling the teacher when she asked, why are you taking sign language? I'm like, well, you're going to think I'm insane, but I really feel like God is calling us to adopt a deaf child and I want to be prepared. Which she thought was amazing. And I thought, I can't believe I just said that out loud. I knew, I told everybody that story after that, because I felt like telling what God was going to do before he actually did it and then watching it happen would bring him such glory, such incredible glory, that I couldn't hold that story back. And if it didn't happen and I looked like an idiot, I figured I kind of make an idiot out of myself all on my own. I might as well take the chance of being, you know, showing God's great glory and sharing what I think God is doing before he does it. And I'm so grateful that I did. I told everybody, I think God's calling us to adopt a deaf child from China. They're like, okay, that's weird. Like, it is, but I really feel like that's what is going to happen. And so a couple things that the Lord did to kind of reassure me. One of them, this is so cool. I think this is so cool. So I'm praying, Lord, where do you want us to go? China, Kazakhstan, here in the United States, where is it you want us to go? So that family finally came home from Kazakhstan with their little girl. And we were part of the whole beautiful process of welcoming them in at the airport and her coming home parties and all those wonderful things. And after we kind of got back into the swing of things, and their mother was dropping them, the children, off at preschool, she came in one day on a Friday and she said, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you, China adoption with love. So I know that you're thinking about adoption, but I feel like I'm supposed to really encourage you to look into China adoption with love. I said, okay, thanks. The next day, Kevin and I went to a meeting for a retreat that we were on, an Emmaus retreat. which, by the way, I'm going to also be on another one, November 11th through the 13th. If you're interested, give me an email at allison@breadboxmedia.com. I'll send you information on the Emmaus Retreats, or you can go to emmausretreats.com for more information. I'd love to have you on a retreat with me. Anyway, we were preparing for our to be on this retreat together as a marriage couple to talk about marriage and our marriage and the sacrament of marriage. And the it's a sharing meeting where everyone gets together that's on the team and kind of just shares their story. Well, the director of the weekend he was an adoptive dad. He had a little girl from China. And during our sharing, Kevin mentioned we were considering adoption. We were praying about where God wanted us to go. And you know, it was still early in the process, but we really felt this was what God wanted. And after, during a break, the man came over and he said, "You know what? You have to go to China Adoption with Love. It's Adoption for Dummies." He's like, "You know what? If I could do it, if my wife and I could do this process, you could do this process. Like, China Adoption with Love." So I'm like, okay, that was weird. 2 days in a row. It wasn't like 6 weeks apart. 2 days in a row, same exact adoption agency. Okay, paying attention. The next day was Sunday. And at that time, I was helping run the children's choir at our church. I helped with the singing. And we had in the group three triplets. They were Chinese American, and they were so lovely, these girls. They played the Chinese dulcimers, and they would do concerts, fundraising concerts, and they'd play the dulcimers at different Chinese functions. And I don't know how I ended up telling the group that we were thinking about adoption. You know, just me and my big mouth, I'm sure. I saw the girls and I thought, I need to tell them. I said, "No, we're kind of thinking about China." And they said, "You know, and your beautiful faces really are kind of helping me lean that way." And it was just, you know, the sweet moment with these three beautiful girls. They were high school students at the time. That night, I get an email from one of the girls, and she said, "Oh my gosh, we completely forgot to tell you. We have been hired to play the dulcimers at a fundraiser for an adoption agency." Oh, you know where I'm going with this, right? Yep. China Adoption with Love. Well, how can you get a message 3 days in a row? It's very, very specific. You know, not just China, but China Adoption with Love. So the Lord was really making a way, as they say, for us. He showed us which country, he gave us which adoption agency, and he even told us which home study person to go with, because both the Friday person and the Saturday person mentioned this woman's name that they had used, and I found out she was Catholic. She used to do it for Catholic Charities, but they had stopped adoptions in the United States. I mean, in Massachusetts, but she was still, you know, available to hire for home studies, which you needed to have complete in order to do your adoption. So the Lord was really making it clear. He was calling us to adopt. We were preparing with our sign language for this deaf child, if this is what he was calling us to. He even helped us figure out how we were going to pay for it. And one remarkable morning in Mass, as they were saying the prayer of the faithful, he gave me that assurance that I needed, that I was truly being called to this. When we come back, I will share all of that with you. Again, we're wishing Devin Rose a quick get well. We're sorry you couldn't be with us this morning to talk about navigating the Tiber. Catholic Answers Press, Catholic.com. And also, if you want to know more about the adoption story, we actually had a web a blog that we did at that time. It's called gingrassadoption.blogspot.com. That's gingrass. If you drink too much gin, you end up on the grass and you lose an S. gingrassadoption.blogspot.com is our early blogging for me, and it's took the whole journey of our adoption to get faith. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned. We have more to come.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Today, I'm sharing with you the adoption story of how Faithy became our little girl. It's such an incredible story. I really can't even believe it's our story that the Lord allowed us to be part of this. Really, it's a God story. And how this little girl living in Wuhan, China, became our daughter just about 7 years ago. I was just looking at the blog, gingrisadoption.blogspot.com, and we left on October 29th, 2009 for Beijing, where we spent, I think, 3 days in Beijing. We were able to get out of Beijing on the third day to go to Wuhan, where she was living, to adopt her, while the rest of our party, there were 10 families that went, and I'll get to that too as we go along, but there were 10 families that went, but the craziest thing happened. So I guess I'm not a very scientific minded woman, so I did not know you could do this, but the story goes that there was supposed to be some big festival in Beijing, the Beijing area. So somehow the government seeded the clouds so it would create the rain. Yeah, honestly, this is what I read. This is what we read and we were told. So they seeded the clouds to get the rainstorm out of the way so they'd have good weather for their festival. This is okay. But what they failed to double check, or what happened without them, because you can't really control the weather, though we think we can, they ended up having an unexpected cold snap. So what was supposed to just be a horrific rainfall for that day became a horrific snowstorm. We were blessed. Oh my goodness. I can't tell you how hard I prayed. Our plane was leaving earlier than the other planes for the other families who were with us. So our plane got out, praise God, after just an hour delay, but very scary leaving an air, a runway in a foreign country, and you don't know their plans for how they de-ice and all that stuff. But again, the Lord was protecting. We did a lot of praying on that trip. I don't think I ever let go of my rosary beads the whole time we were gone. So each family was going to a different location. There was some of them that were going together, but especially us who are adopting special needs children, we would go alone. But I'm getting ahead of myself and the story. So the Lord tells us to prepare for this special needs child, for this deaf child. Excuse me today. He makes it clear, China adoption with love. We get the home study going. We go to orientation for China adoption with love. We're pretty confident. But then we have some other questions. My next question was, Lord, you've seen my bank account. How are you going to pay for this? Like, our financial problems now aren't like new to us. We got married at 21 and 23. We've pretty much lived in poverty for the last 27 years. So I'm like, how are you going to pay for this? How is this going to happen? Well, that year, my husband, who had coached soccer, all of the boys, you know, since they were kindergarten, he had always coached with this one gentleman, but the other man didn't want to coach this year, or he was going to coach a different level. And Kevin said to the soccer board, just put me wherever you need me, whoever needs an assistant coach, whatever, it's fine. It's great. I'll help. Well, as God would have it, he got matched with a man whose wife had been a missionary to China, and they had adopted a child from China. So sitting on the sidelines one day at the soccer game, kind of just sharing and talking about our desires to adopt, she said, come over tomorrow for tea. I really want to share some stuff with you. Now, unbeknownst to her, I mean, she doesn't know me at all. She doesn't know that we have zero money, that I'm panicked about how to pay this. The next morning I show up for tea, and I didn't think I was in the door. She said, I know. And she was a very good Christian woman. She said, I know you've been worried about how you're going to pay for this. And so I think the Lord wants me to share with you some of the things that we did to alleviate your fears, but also give you some ideas of how you can make this happen. It was crazy. I was like, how, what? That's nuts. So she did. She talked about at the time, I don't think there is now, but at the time there was a huge tax benefit in the state of Massachusetts, or maybe it was the United States, maybe it was a federal tax cut at the time. You got back a huge chunk of money. I think it was like $8,000 or $12,000. Like, it was a tax credit, not even a deduction. It was huge. And it would carry over. So you got the whole amount. There was, she said, check into your husband's work, see if they have an adoption benefit. Lo and behold, they did. I would have never have thought. It was like $3,600. I would have never thought to look into that. I talk about, it was about $25,000. People always ask, like, how much does it cost to adopt a kid? 7 years ago from China, it was about $25,000. That included all our travel, all the expenses for the home study, tests, everything. Altogether, about $25,000. So we have, we now know that there was a tax cut that makes it easier. There was the thing from his work. Those were all post payments. So there was still the upfront cost. So we're still figuring out how on earth we were going to do this. We definitely, some of this debt that we're dealing with now definitely comes from those days of using our credit cards, and just, it meant this much to us. And we knew that the Lord would provide. Then I got this inspiration and adoration to write a letter and ask our friends and family, not to help to pay for the adoption per se, but there was one cost that was, that went right to the orphanage. And it started off at like 1800 when we started the process. And right before we went to China, they doubled, they more than doubled. It was like almost $5,000 that we had to bring just for the orphanage fee that we weren't expecting to have. And so that's what I wrote the letter for. And that's what I asked our friends and family to help us with. And that's exactly what we raised. We raised almost to the penny exactly what we needed to pay that adoption fee, that fee to the orphanage, which she was in a foster home, but it was still, we had to pay this fee. It was crazy. So we had friends and family helping. We had the tax credit. We had one time, this was the funniest thing. We had to make a payment. Like, you have to pay things as you go along. So I guess it's kind of good that it takes a couple of years to happen. And we had received our tax refund. It was for the exact amount that we needed to send to the to China Adoption with Love, affectionately known as Cowley, with $70 left over. So we went out for Chinese food. We figured we'd pay the bill and then celebrate with what we call faith food, because that's her name and she's Chinese. And we still call it to this day, faith food. It was amazing. Like, he provided every answer that we needed. He gave us the where to go and just this. So then it came this time, like, I needed the assurance. It was Sunday, the day before we were going into Cambridge, where Cowley was, to sign the paperwork and to officially start the process. And I'm standing in mass that morning and I'm a wreck. Like, all these things are going through my head, like my anxiety, the travel, the money, the idea that the child might have a disability. My own two children were, Ian had oppositional defiant, and he has ADD, and he was already starting to struggle with depression and suicidal thoughts at 9. Like, how am I going to juggle all of this? These two boys, Adam had an incident that was needed to be taken care of. And there's like so many things that I'm like, Lord, I can't do this. So I'm standing in mass that morning, and it's the prayer of the faithful. That's the time when we give the intercessions. And I'm praying. I said, Lord, I'm sure you're calling me this, but I just need some assurance. I know I'm not doubting you. I'm doubting that I'm hearing you correctly. And the second I let my attention come back from that prayer to the deacon up at the Ambo giving the prayers for the faithful, he said, may all the orphans of the world find good homes. That's exactly what he said at that very moment. May all the orphans of the world find good homes. I'd never heard that petition before that moment in all 40 years of my life, and I've not heard it since. It is at that very moment that I am praying. If you don't think that God listens, if you don't think that veil, again, between heaven and earth is so thin, then perhaps you've never asked God anything. But I can tell you, resoundingly, he hears, he wants to encourage us, he wants to help us, he wants us to embrace what he has called us to do. I look at Kevin and I swear he must have been praying the same thing, because his eyes were as wide as saucers again. He goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe he just said that. I know you're not supposed to be talking at church, but we were. We're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. So we took that as our sign. Yes, all of this stuff was being answered and God was guiding us. And we spent so much time in prayer, just continually looking for the hope and the answers. At one point, I was in her room praying the rosary, and we had been delayed. There was a lot of delays. In fact, we got her picture on April 28th, 2009, and it took us it was supposed to be 6 to 8 weeks before we got to go to China and get her. And it ended up being 6 months. Do you know how hard and long those 6 months were? And I just felt like it was never going to happen. And I was praying one day, the rosary in her room, it was all set and ready to go. I hear this weird noise out the window and I look, and there flying by was this giant butterfly, biggest butterfly I'd ever seen. Now, it wasn't the butterfly, I don't think, that made that noise, but the Lord allowed a noise to get my attention out there. Do you know, from that day in July when I saw that butterfly to the moment we picked her up in China, I saw a butterfly. I heard the word butterfly. I would know. It would be like this moment of doubt and uncertainty, and suddenly there'd be a butterfly, which is kind of interesting. Now here we are 7 years later, and the Lord is again using that symbol of the butterfly to bring me comfort, and it's almost like he's saying, remember, I did it once, why do you doubt me now? Oh, so much more to tell you. Please stay tuned. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm thinking that I need to stop being so cheap and turn the heat on. I have this thing about not turning the heat on until November 1st, but I'm realizing that I'm having trouble with my voice because my nose is running because it's so cold. That'll teach me for being such a cheapskate. So I'm sharing with you today our adoption story, we called it our journey of faith to faith, because her name is Faith. And that was truly from the Lord as well. That I had a dream. Even I am not Joshua in Technicolor Dreamcoat. I don't normally have dreams that come to reality. And I'm sure this one was more of a those like morning or those right before you fall asleep dreams. I don't think I was woken up with one. Anyway, that we were going to have a daughter and her name would be Faith. And then when it took all the faith in the world that I had to go to China to bring her home, it seemed like the perfect name for her. Her name is Faith Fenhua. Wu Fenhua was the name she was given to us with. And Wu was the town where she was from. It was the orphanage. So we dropped Wu. And then we combined Fen and Hua. F-E-N-G was written in the paperwork, was given to all the children found at the time she was found, which was in January, I think, January-ish. They gave her a birthday of January 10th. And then Hua, H-U-A, meant China. So no matter where she went, she would always remember that she was Chinese. So her name was Wu Fenhua, and we've named her Faith Fenhua. And our little Faith Fenhua has been just such a blessing. So talking about the butterfly. So I would see the butterfly or hear the word butterfly, see a picture of a butterfly. It was crazy, like this whole time. And then we get to China and I stop seeing them. Well, about 2 weeks into it, right before we're about to leave, we're going to the American consulate in Guangzhou to finish the paperwork. And I notice that her birth date is wrong on one of the papers. And I start to panic. like, oh my gosh, what are they going to, I think it was, it must've been her birth certificate. I'm not sure. Isn't that terrible? It's been 7 years now. I really don't remember, but it was a very important document. It couldn't have been her passport. Maybe it was her passport. It's either her passport or her birth certificate. One of them had something wrong on it. It must've been her passport. That makes more sense because her birth certificate, it didn't matter what birthday they put on it. Anyway, I start to panic and we're on the bus going with all of the families for this last thing that we're supposed to do so that we can leave the country in a day or two. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're not going to let us adopt her. This paperwork's going to hold us up. Starting to have an anxiety attack. All of our friends are going to leave. I miss the boys. I want to go home. And I start to pray. And out the side of my window, we're on a double decker, huge bus going through downtown Guangzhou. There's buildings, there's smog. And this little, tiny, beautiful yellow butterfly flutters past my window. And I start to cry and laugh at the same time. And I just breathe a sigh of relief. I said, God is here and he has this all under control. We are fine. And we were. They put the paperwork through and they overnighted a new passport. It was a passport. They overnighted the new passport so we could leave the country with her the next day. It didn't hold us up at all. Instead, it gave us even more opportunity to trust in the Lord, to believe in his providence, to see him at work, to see those butterflies that come from heaven to make us know that he hears our prayers, he's answering our prayers, he knows we are there. We can't rely on them. My spiritual director always gets mad when I talk and share about the signs and the wonders that I get, the fidelity trucks and the dandelions and all the crazy things that happened, the scripture verses, but I can't help it because, like I said, at the end of the last segment, God used them and they were real. And they, you know, in hindsight, I can go, yes, those butterflies, I saw one every single day and they were God's assurance. And he did follow through on that promise. I forgot to tell you guys, the new truck I keep seeing drive by says the words keep promises on the side of it. And this is one of, and why it's so important for me lately is because that's what I've been reading in scripture. You know, blessed is she who believes that what was spoken to her will be fulfilled. What was prophesied will be fulfilled. And it's all about God keeping his promise. And now I keep seeing the keep promises truck. I love that God is not distant. I love that he is with us every moment, listening, caring, loving, breaking through. And one of the funniest stories I have to share before we run out of time this morning, you can read more on jingrisadoption.blogspot.com for the story. Was this moment I went out to dinner with a friend and we knew we were getting faith. We knew she was deaf. We knew I knew I was going to homeschool her because I already homeschooled. And my friend, who was a special ed teacher, really started to lay into me about homeschooling her and sending her to school and the importance. In the end, 5 years later, I did end up sending my daughter to school. And what my friend had to say had a lot of truth to it. But in that moment, all it did was make me feel like I was incompetent. I was miserable. I was stupid. I had anxiety. I couldn't do this. And I'm praying this one night, like, Lord, I can't do this. I am just incapable. I can't accomplish this. And this is what happens. Then I get this inclination to go into Faith's room, just this draw to go in there, pray. And I usually bring my scriptures with me when I'm going to pray like this so that I can open and let the Lord speak to me. But I couldn't find my Bible. And I have like 20. I didn't know where it was. Instead, in front of me was the diary of Saint Faustina, the divine mercy in my soul, Saint Faustina's diary. And I'd already started to have a devotion to her, and I already felt like she was really part of this journey. And at this moment, I knew for sure St. Faustina and I would be forever best friends. So I randomly opened the diary, and this is what I read after pouring out my heart to the Lord about how scared and how upset and how worried I was. And this is, I'm just going to read to you the bold, that is Jesus speaking to me. And the diary, when Jesus speaks, it's bold. And it said, my daughter, why are you giving into thoughts of fear? And then she says, this work frightens me. You know that I am incapable of carrying it out. And then Jesus responds to her. And I love this. Listen to what he says. My daughter, what you have said is true. you are very miserable. And it pleased me to carry out this work of mercy precisely through you, who are nothing but misery itself. Tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. That's hysterical. Like, this is, I'm pouring out to him. I'm miserable. I'm incapable. I can't do this. And what does Jesus say? Yeah, you're right. You are. You're a wreck. You're a hot mess, mama. But he continues, do not fear. I will not leave you alone, Jesus said. Do whatever you can do in this matter, and I will accomplish everything that is lacking in you. Even as I read these words now, it brings me to tears. It was exactly what I needed to hear, and it was exactly what I did. You know, he says, that what is within your power to do, do that. One of my favorite, if you're wondering where that is, it's in the diary number 881, Faustina's diary number 881. You can Google that, or if you have the diary, it's on page 345. This is how close our God is to us. And when I think about how this little girl in this huge country, you know, in this little foster home, needed a home, and her prayer, where she never even could put this prayer, that groaning of her heart, she longed for a family who would love her. And I think about if we had given into fear, if we hadn't answered and let all of these God-sidences build up in our hearts to assure us that this is what God was calling us to send us forward, where would she be now? She had no language when we adopted her. She was almost 4 years old. And she had no way of communicating anything. They hadn't taught her Chinese sign language. She didn't learn to write. She wasn't lip reading. Maybe she could have, but, you know, it would have been Chinese. We were speaking English, but it didn't seem like she understood anything. She was completely locked inside of herself. And when I think about what God did for Faithy, it just blows my mind. And he used this totally imperfect, broken, anxious Misery herself to bring it to fruition. I don't know what God is calling you to, but I know if you're still breathing, he's got a purpose and a plan for you. I want you to open up your heart and your mind to what he has. Look around you at the signs and wonders that he's providing to you, because I know they're there. I don't get them just because I'm a Jesus freak. I get them because I'm a daughter of God and he loves me. And he loves you. You are his child as well. And he wants to fulfill his plan and purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you and not to harm you, for good and not for woe. What is God calling you to, but you've been too afraid to say yes to? You have felt unable and misery itself. And he reminds us, I just listen to this one more time as we leave first today. I will accomplish everything that is lacking in you. You know what is within your power to do. Do that. Oh, God is so good and so loving. Thank you for letting me share with you today our adoption story. You can go to gingrisadoption.blogspot.com or just go to Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. I have linked it there. And again, my get well wishes to Devin Rose, but I think the Lord today had a plan. I'm sorry that he used you getting sick to make it happen, but his plans, I love his promises, Romans 8:28, that he will always make good of the bad. So again, thank you for listening to our story, our adoption story, and we will talk to you next week on Wednesday when I introduce you to some of my favorite bloggers. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.